The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
What's going on, everybody? It's Monday night. It's 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and all those in between. I am back live on a Monday night. I tell you what, we had a couple Thursday night episodes, just that's the way the schedule had to fall. How about we're back live, loud and proud on a Monday night. My name is Chef Plum. I am a personal chef, a television host, a radio host, a guy who is... I don't know. I'm just a dude. I'm a cook. I'm a chef. And I have a microphone. So that makes me an expert. So I'm going to be an expert right now. No, I'm not. I'm just totally kidding. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. What's going on, everybody? It's going to be a fantastic episode, man. Our guest tonight is the one and only Chef Marlon Alexander. Now, you're like, who the hell is Chef Marlon Alexander? Let me tell you who he is. He is a personal chef who has worked with the likes of Will Smith, Christina Aguilera, Rod Stewart, the band Kiss. I mean, you name it, he's been there. I'm sure he's got some great stories. I'm looking forward to it. He was even working for a member of the royal family of Kuwait for 2 years. That's insane. You know the dude's got some stories and seen some crazy stuff. Hopefully, we'll be able to get him to talk about it. Even worked with Eddie Murphy. Dude, Coming to America is one of my favorite movies of all time. I got to talk to Marlon about Coming to America, even though he wasn't there and he probably wasn't with Eddie Murphy during the Coming to America phase. But what a great movie, right? I don't know. Anyway, so here we are. I'm sitting down here at the bar. I just popped the top on, not a cold one. That's right. I popped the top on a little Pinot Noir Rosé. That's what I did, guys. You know why? Because here's my issue. If I'm drinking beers, I'm going to drink way too many beers. And I'm just not really into drinking that many beers right now. So I figure a few glasses of rosé. The problem is probably going to be when I drink the entire bottle of rosé. I don't know. I drink pink wine. I wear makeup. I wear an apron. I cook food. I'm kind of like everybody's favorite grandmother, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that is the case. Anyway, looking forward to talking to Chef Marlon. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think the conversation will be pretty cool. But, you know, so my friend Rev Dave Ciazio has a radio show, a podcast called Like, Bite, and Share. If you don't check it out, highly, highly recommend. It's all about marketing. It's a fantastic show. And I was listening to it on the way home. I don't smell like a grandmother. I was listening to it on the way home yesterday, or two days ago, driving home from the Hamptons doing a party. And it was an amazing show. Him and also fellow Plum Love Foods alumni, Brad Garoon from Burger Weekly, they host a Like, Bite, and Share podcast. And they had one of the marketing people from Monsanto on, which I just found really, really amazing. I couldn't stop texting me. I listened to the entire show, and I couldn't believe they actually had her on. Monsanto definitely has that stigmata. They're very, I don't even want to use the word polarizing, because in my book, polarizing is a good thing. It incites a reaction, but more about, they just have such a negative stigmata on them about what they've done with GMOs and things like that. And it really was interesting because we see these things from these food documentaries. We watch Food Inc. We watch these movies like Super Size Me, who, you know, that's like a cult classic, but, you know, Killer at Large. I mean, we watch all these things, the movie Fresh. It's just all of these food movies, Food Fight. And you know, they always kind of lead to the same thing about how bad a company like Monsanto is. And, you know, I don't know. I think at the heart of it, to me, they are. But I tell you what, after listening to Rev and Brad talk to this woman, I don't know, man. You kind of see the other side of the picture when you talk to them. Now, I don't agree with the GMO part whatsoever at all. But what they're doing, it's hard not to listen. So I don't know, man. I'm thinking about inviting her on the show and talk about a chef perspective to her. My wife's nervous that if we do that, they're going to come kill us if I make her look bad, which is completely possible. I mean, she seemed like a really nice lady, but, you know, I mean, Brad and Rev aren't going to ask the same kind of questions that I would probably ask. But, you know, they were talking from a coming from more of a marketing standpoint and did an amazing job with it. It was a very, very, very compelling conversation. Highly recommend you check it out. The Like, Bite, Share podcast. It's on iTunes, presented by Schweid & Sons, good friends of ours. Well worth it. And I'm not doing like a paid spot for them. It really was just an amazing show. And it really, like I said, got me thinking about these food documentaries and how much we in this business as chefs, as hospitality people, we take these movies for gospel. We take them for, you know, this is exactly what the way things are, where, you know, like with any movie, it's definitely skewed to a certain point of view. We had Stephanie Sutcliffe on last season, and she is obviously a very, very well-known movie maker, making such movies as Fed Up, and of course you know, the Under the Gun that just came out, and a very controversial movie at that, but Tapped, of course, about bottled water. And it's just funny because you watch these movies and you definitely get, and she said it's definitely skewed to their point of view. Not in a bad way. I mean, they're the one making the movie, so of course they're going to skew it to their point of view. If I'm telling you a story about me, I'm going to make me sound good in it. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But I just think that we as culinarians, as hospitality people, as restaurant people, people who work in the hospitality type business, I think we just need to maybe take a step back after we watch these movies and just think about it for a second. And there's, you know, my mom used to always tell me there's two sides to every story, and it's absolutely true. There definitely are. And I'm not saying that things that Monsanto are doing is a good thing, but I just don't think it's not all as bad as we think it is. And I get it. They tried to copyright the word pig. It's a little fucked up. You can't copyright that word, but that's what they're doing. But there also are, you know, we have a population that's tripled in like 10 years or something, some crazy astronomical number. And I only say that for a fact because I have a microphone, but I don't know if that's true. It's something big like that, though. It's some giant, like the population's ever, ever, ever increasing. And we've got to be able to make enough food for everybody. And we still can't. We still have people who don't get enough to eat. We still have kids who go to school and the only meal they get the entire day is what they eat at school. And that's not right. But that's what these people at groups like Monsanto, groups like DuPont, groups like Bayer are trying to help, are trying to make that better. So it raises the question with me. I mean, it's like the Jurassic Park question, I guess. You know, we're all so excited that we can do something. We're not really sure if we should. We never thought to ask if we should. But if they're trying to do that and they're trying to use what they have and their power and their company and their reach and trying to do good things like that, well, then to me, not everything they're doing is bad. But I don't know if the good outweighs the bad. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Let me know what you guys think, because I'm really curious if we should have these guys on. I could reach out to him and see. My wife is like saying, absolutely not, don't do it. But I have questions. Like, I have a lot of questions. And to me, if you have questions, then freaking ask them, go to the source. And that's kind of the way I look at it. And, you know, if I want to know something, then I'm going to go to the source and find out. I mean, honestly, that's the idea completely. Which I don't know, like maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's tough. It's tough. It's a tough way. It's a tough call. It really, really, truly is a tough call. Anyway, I just think these movies also, they have two sides to every movie. I mean, there's always a side of the movie that's going to be like, you know, telling their point of view. But there's also the point of view that maybe the person they're talking about might have. So I don't know. It's interesting. And I think it might be worth having that conversation. I think I want to spend some time this season too talking about GMOs and talking about stuff like that to try to get input from other chefs and people and guests we may have on this show about how they feel about that sort of stuff and what they feel about, you know, if their clients are asking for it, if they're finding people in the restaurant are asking for it. Because I think that we live in a world now where it's I think people are way more food educated. And I've said this before, they're way more food educated. But it's like they're educated, but it's the wrong kind of education. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. That's just the way it goes. Anyway, check it out, guys. I am going to actually, what should we do first? We should. I guess we'll talk a few more minutes about this. I'm not quite ready yet, so I'm going to keep going. We've all seen movies like Super Size Me. Remember that? The movie with the guy who ate McDonald's forever, and he did that. He ate McDonald's for an entire month or something like that, and you can see the body changes in that. I mean, if you see that movie and don't believe that these GMOs and this stuff is bad for you, then I don't know what else to tell you, because that's one of the movies I think is the exception to the rule from what I'm talking about. That movie itself, at least it seems to really just document what's going on, you know, just like a documentary. It doesn't seem to actually, just kind of skew one way or the other. I mean, definitely it's talking about the bad way, but it doesn't seem to show, you know, it's not like harping on it. It's just kind of showing, look what happened when I did this, and here's how my body felt, and here's how we're documenting everything that happened, which I found really, really interesting. You know, it's just, he talks about in the movie specifically how tired he feels, and, you know, it's eating that sort of food and how it can run you down and make you tired. And I guess that's the truth. But just like any of the rest of us, watch this segue, folks, we all can be tired. And what do as chefs, as hospitality people, when we're tired? I'll tell you what we do. We got to have a nice cup of coffee. That's what we do. And for me, when I'm having a nice cup of coffee, I tell you what I want. You know what I want? I want Birds of a Feather Coffee. They're a small batch coffee craft roaster in Tampa, Florida. That's right, Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. They use only the highest quality specialty grade beans. These beans are awesome. The guy sent me some of the stuff. They are awesome. The blends are complex, but very, very approachable, and they're always roasted fresh. That's what they do at Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. These things are roasted in small batches, and I can't emphasize enough how big of a difference that makes. I want you to try the Night Owl blend. It's definitely like the chef's route. It's like the chef blend to me from Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. The Night Owl blend is deep and rich, highlighting the caramel sweetness and cocoa molasses undertones. That's right. This stuff is heavy, but still kind of almost refreshing. I dig it. I mean, the Night Owl blend from Birds of Feather Coffee Company is unbelievable. I highly recommend you check these guys out at birdscoffeecompany.com. You can even sign up for the monthly subscription so you never run out of your favorite. These guys are fantastic. Small batch roast. I'm telling you what, it's becoming the way that people drink coffee. Those big cans that your parents used to get, like a Folgers and all that, instant, that's out the door, out the window now. We are now doing small batch coffee. It's the way to go. Make sure you check out Birds of a Feather Coffee Company at birdscoffeecompany.com. You can order bags. You can order part of the subscription. It's awesome. I tell you what, my man Neil over there is going to take care of you and make sure that you have all the coffee you need. Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. You can check them out at birdscoffeecompany.com.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Got a call from my jeweler, this just shining all week, ho. I'm sipping Clico and rocking yellow diamonds. So many rocks up in my watch, I can't tell what the time is. Got a pocket full of big faces. Throw it up, cause every nigga that I'm with, Taylor. Yeah, you know what it is. Everything I do, I do it big. Yeah, screaming that's nothing. When I pulled off the lot, that's stunning. Rap in my town, when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I put it down for no whip time. My diamonds on it. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Stay high like I'm supposed to do. That crowd underneath them clouds can't get close to you. And my car look unapproachable. Super clean, but it's super mean. She wanna fuck with them cats. Smoke weed, count stacks, get fly, take trips, and that's that. Real rap, I let her get high as she want and she feel that. Convertible drop feel, 87 the top pill. Back, you know what it is. Yeah, yeah, you know what it is. Y'all already know what it is, man. If you don't, you should by now. I'm a town when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, I put it down. Taylor Gang. Yeah, you know what it is. Everything I do, I do it big. Yeah, screaming that's nothing. When I pulled off the lot, that's stunning. Yeah, rap in my town when you see me, you know everything. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I put it down from the whip to my diamonds. I'm in black and yellow, black and yellow.
Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. And you. Guys, coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live on a Monday night. That's right. Why does it always go all the way down? I'm trying to fade this out. Look, that's what I want. I want it right there. When we fade down, that's where we fade to from now on, okay? Don't fade all the way down. We sound stupid when you do that. Got it. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Plum Love Foods Live. I had to stop and pour myself some rosé and get myself some birds of a feather coffee. That's right, because we are back, and I've got my man, the one and only Chef Marlon Alexander on the phone. Let me tell you something before I bring him on the line. You meet a lot of cool people in this business. I say that a lot, but I met Chef Marlon at a charity event, and we kind of hit it off. We're both very, very loud people, and we're both very large individuals who are very, very easy to pick out in the crowd. But when you talk about sweet guys and nice people, this guy's definitely the top of the list. His food's amazing. He's a great guy, a super sweet guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Chef Marlon Alexander. Chef, what's happening, man? How are you?
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's good, brother. It's good, man. Where are you? Are you on vacation right now? Is that what I hear?
So I'm on vacation, hanging out with my wife, hanging out with some family. We are in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is actually where I am from. Before I moved out.
Oh, okay,
to LA,
nice.
Worked with all these people. But yeah, so I'm here and home, at home.
Well, dude, that's awesome. And I guess so you took a vacation to home. That was the idea, right?
Exactly. You know, every now and then you're going to hang out with your family, you know what I mean?
I do, as a matter of fact, and I'm afraid that I've been sentenced to the same thing very, very soon, and to me, it's definitely a sentence, so I'll have to suck it up and go do it, that's for sure. So, bro, I appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us tonight, checking out some of the stuff that you've done, man. You've definitely had a crazy, crazy adventure, but I want to talk to you a little bit about just with food and stuff. And kind of one of the things I'm talking a lot with just every chef I get on, man, I'm just going to jump right into it with you. And definitely not about the obvious thing to talk to you about with all of your celebrities and things like that you've worked with. But, dude, GMOs, man, it's kind of just taken over our world. I know it's a weird question, man, but as a private chef, you and I both, we kind of do some of the same work. Like, we work with people who are very, for the most part, into food. At least they think they are, and they're a part of it, and they understand these things. Are you finding more clients these days asking for non-GMO or 100% organic with their food? Is it kind of becoming a fad, a trend, or do you think it's actually something that's going to change?
You know,
that was like a nine-part question, dude. Sorry.
It is a nine-part question, but I think I got it all down. With all of the food modification that's going on, everyone really has some form of an allergy. Sorry, hold on.
He's running from the cops, folks. He's running from the cops.
I'm on the street. Yeah. So with all of the food modification going on, I feel like everyone has some form of an allergy. It's not even like, do you have an allergy? It's what allergy do you have? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, I work my clientele. It's, you know, you're working with entertainers. You're working with, you know, the 1%. So it's always something going on. So, yeah, you have to adapt to every kind of thing that you're dealing with. It's always adapting.
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely is. And it's definitely, I guess my big question is, I mean, do you see more people now? I mean, we've been in the business roughly the same amount of time here, and it's definitely more of a thing now than it ever was 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing, but, you know, and like I said, I feel like everyone has some form of an allergy. So you are constantly adapting, working with these clients. And it's, you know, if you want to work with that 1%, you want to work with those big clients, this is what you have to do. Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of... You just have to, I mean, obviously that's the way it goes. And so with some of the clients you've had in the past, do you find that a lot of the guys, obviously we're not going to put names out there, but you know, some of the bigger names you've worked with, they have a ton of food allergies and things like that?
You know, I think, I mean, it's hard to say who's the biggest client that I've ever had, but I mean, I think Kiss and Christina Aguilera and all those people are definitely like on the forefront. But like right now I work, you know, with one of the richest guys in the world. And there is always some kind of something you're dealing with. He's gluten-free, he's dairy-free, so it's like you just have to adapt. I know how to make things today that I did not know, and it's because of this, you know, adapting with the criteria that he has to you know, adhere to. So I mean, it's, to me, I think it's awesome.
I mean, you had to learn how to do that stuff, you know. I mean, just that's just the way it goes. I'm the same way, man. I had a client brother who would call me. I'd have to call every morning. I took food to him in the city every day. I can't say names, but he's a big Broadway guy. I took food to him every day, and I had to call him every morning, and he would tell me what he's allergic to that day, bro.
I know. As you see, the crime rate is very high here.
Oh, there he is. I lost you for a second. I didn't hear if you said anything back to me, but the guy, I would have to every day he would tell me he's allergic to, he would say, I'm allergic to the color green. I can't have that today. I can't have anything, you know, nothing can be, it all has to be white. I can't have any green vegetables. It was just crazy talk, man, because these guys come across and they want to have their allergies, and they just want to, I think it's just, they want to have something just to have something, you know?
Everybody's a little neurotic. I actually, funny story. I actually worked, Anthony Kiedis. And at one point in time, he told me, I don't want to eat everything that's white. I don't want to eat anything that has any color to it, because when I use the bathroom, I want to come out clean. And I said, that's not how that works.
Which, by the way, as I could digress, probably my favorite band of all time right there, by the way, the Chili Peppers. That's my go-to. That's amazing. I had no idea.
You would be shocked. I mean, the rock and roll crowd that I've worked with in my career has been phenomenal. I don't know how that happened, but it just happened. But it's off the charts.
Yeah, it's amazing. And these guys tend to be pretty cool. I have some friends of mine who actually went on tour with White Zombie and Slayer for a while. And you know, very, very different type of very heavy, you know, heavy metal. And just some of the coolest cats you've ever toured.
Heavy metal is a different vibe, but I mean, you know, Rod Stewart, one of my favorite stories ever is cooking lunch with for Rod when he came in the kitchen. His wife grabbed the food. She goes out. She's doing like a burlesque striptease dance as she gives him his lunch. And I said to myself, I said, this guy is the luckiest son of a bitch in the world. And an amazing person at that.
Well, that's awesome, man. So let's work with these guys. I mean, obviously, is it more of a contract basis? Is it more of like, okay, I'll be with you for while you're on this tour doing this? Or is it like while you're home, I'll be working with you? How does that work for you?
You know, the cool thing is how that works for me is like it's word of mouth at this point in time. I think that I'm starting to wind down. You know, I'm getting a little older. So I'm starting to wind down. I want to do, you know, my own brand, which is a restaurant. I want to do a restaurant group. So I'm toning down from doing all this, you know, I'm toning down from what I, you know, you can't party too hard for too long. So, you know, right now it's word of mouth. You know, I've been lucky enough to have like this great following of, rock and roll, stars who want you to work with them. That's great. But it's definitely toning down.
Well, I mean, it's still always pretty fun to have those sort of things that you can go work with these guys and have those experiences. You know, I talk a lot on the show about how food can be amazing and do amazing things for you. And, you know, my sous chef is learning that at this point right now. And, you know, for me, food has given me a beautiful wife. Food has put, you know, given me a house, and food has taken me all over the world.
And beautiful kids. I love your wife. Your beautiful kids. I think they're adorable.
Oh, you're very sweet, man. I appreciate that. But, you know, food's a powerful thing, and it's done the same thing for you. It's given you a chance to have some amazing experiences and opportunities. I mean, I think that young culinarians in this coming up need to, you know, have the respect for it and understand what it can do for you if you work hard enough at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I mean, you know, I never thought that, you know, growing up in Indianapolis, that I would have the life that I have. I mean, it's extraordinary, and I love every moment of it. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the coolest part about it, man. And you're a very humble, nice guy. And I said in the intro when I was talking about you, like, you and I together, we're quite a presence. You know, we're both, you know, 6'3", 6'4", big dudes, me with my hair. It's definitely pretty, we're not hard to find in a crowd. And when we were talking at that event, I was like, this guy's pretty cool, man.
I can pick you out.
Yeah, well, you too, brother. Both of us, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're very, very standing out type people. And but I think it kind of goes with the career, to be honest with you, because you work with such, I don't know, you kind of need to be memorable, I guess, is what I'm looking to say here. That's what I'm kind of, the point I'm trying to get at with, you know, working with the people that you've worked with and kind of doing the same thing that I've done. Like, you have to be memorable. And I think that, I mean, am I crazy? Like, you want to have Christina Aguilera say, yeah, that guy's awesome. Let me recommend him to you. And like, whenever she thinks of food, she thinks of you.
Right. 100%. I agree with that. You know, we're lucky to do what we do, and people are very appreciative of what we do. So, you know, it's a win-win situation all the way around.
Now, I'm drinking bubbly rosé. Does that make you think less of me right now?
Well, I was drinking a Manhattan, and now I've switched off to wine, you know, because my wife makes me drink wine a lot. So it's all good.
It's definitely her fault. It's definitely her fault, right? Right.
I'm blaming her.
There you go. Which, by the way, your wife is very sweet. Same thing. I met her that day. She's very, very nice. Very sweet.
I am very lucky and blessed to have her.
See, that's what I say too, man. I say the same thing. Like, I wouldn't have my wife without food. You know, that's the food is giving me the opportunity to have the wife that I have. It's truth. It's true. I'm a mediocre. I'm a fat mediocre guy at best. You know, I mean, anyway. So you actually all these fun things to talk about and stuff. But, you know, I kind of want to go back to where you started, man. And you went to Cordon Bleu. You started doing culinary school. What made you decide to get into food, man?
You know, really, I went to school to be a politician. I went to Northeastern University in Boston, Mass. It was not my intention in any way to do culinary. You know, a friend of mine asked me to cover for her for a few days. I worked at this restaurant. I had a great time. It was a small cafe. And I'm telling you, from not doing any kind of culinary to going in and working at a restaurant, total different beast. But once I started doing that and everything worked the way it did, I mean, you know, it's amazing that how quick things change. But I was, like I said, I was going to go to school to be a politician. Didn't work for
me. Yeah.
But I'm very happy that these things happened.
Well, I mean, it definitely played out well for you, but you even went as far as to work in a place with a five-diamond, five-star AAA mobile rating. And, you know, I don't know if everybody quite understands what that is. I do, because I worked at Jefferson Hotel, and we had the same thing. But, you know, it's not a Michelin star, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was at the Bel Air Hotel, you know, the number one boutique hotel at one point in North America. It was a great experience. I learned so much. But the thing that, like, sort of amazed me, because, you know, when I started off doing this job, it was literally right out of culinary school. The reason I went to culinary school was because, you know, there's a certain ring you can't go beyond until you go to culinary school. And so once I did that, I felt like it was sky's the limit, and I've had nothing but great opportunities handed to me since then.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right about that. I think it definitely comes a point when you're working where it either becomes, you know what, you need to like take a step and go like, you know, intern with somebody, or, you know, kind of be mentored by somebody, or go to culinary school. And I'm a big proponent of that. But we've had a lot of big name chefs on here who are not proponents of culinary school, which I find very interesting, man. What do you think about that?
I mean, it is interesting, but you know what? If I did not go to culinary school, I think I still could have done okay, but I just really wanted that job at the Bel Air. For some reason, the Bel Air, they only wanted people with a culinary background. But, you know, I work with Roland Gilbert and Wolfgang Puck. And, you know, mm-hmm. I remember working, you know, like Wolfgang showed me how to do tournelles. And I was like, you know, at one point he told me, you know, you should be paying me for letting you work here, because once you leave my restaurant, you can work all over the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was a good Wolfgang Puck impression, by the way. That was good.
he is hilarious, by the way, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's a guy who's done it all in the business, and he's at a point now where, you know, he doesn't have to take it so seriously anymore. That's one of the things I've always liked about the guy. Even when he had his, you know, even when he had his shows, like, I loved Wolfgang's shows, because he would just have fun. You know, I think it has to come across you having fun, which I think is also key to what being a private chef is about. You have to come across as it's, you know, obviously got to know when and where to speak and be a part of the conversation. But so long as you're having fun and you're confident, generally your client's going to be okay. You agree? That's what I find.
Well, you know, what I find is that we're doing a job that we're always going to be critiqued in some mm-hmm. fashion. So,
yes,
you know,
sir.
You have to be secure with yourself. You have to be positive. And I think people see that when you do your food, when you do your craft, your art, people see that. So you have to be very positive about that. You know,
completely.
You know, when you're doing what you do, know that you love what you do and you do it well.
Yeah, and I think that it's tough, man. I think that even as a restaurant chef, a restaurant cook, you're definitely critiqued, but it's not the same. You know, it's definitely not the same thing. You know, I think with what we do as private chefs, which is, I mean, there's ups and downs and there's goods and bads, just like with any job. But, you know, a lot of times tonight, for instance, brother, I'm cooking in front of my client and she's talking to me the entire time. Like, she's right there. Like, there's no, you know, she's seeing everything I'm doing. That's just the way it goes, you know, and you have to be okay with that.
Right. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, there are times that you're alone in the kitchen. There are times that, you know, there are like five kids in the kitchen. And, you know, there are times that people, let's say you're doing a cocktail party, and everybody, for some reason, they are drawn to the kitchen, and everyone.
Do they all, no, some reason, time out. There's no for some reason. They're always in the fucking kitchen. I'm like, get out of the kitchen. God, man, come on.
I'm trying to work here. Yeah, so, I mean, no, it happens all the time. It's just, it is the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the beast.
It is.
It happens all the time.
So in your opinion, man, in your words, man, compare being like a restaurant hotel chef to being a private chef. Like, which, I mean, pros and cons, like, what do you think? How do they compare? How do they stack up to each other? And I guess in the end, it's a tough question, but which do you think is a harder job?
You know, my job I've loved from day one, be it cooking in a restaurant and not affording to go into that restaurant to eat, be it cooking for rock and roll legends and, you know, you're very well paid and you're, you know, you have all these things going in a good way for you. But, you know, I've loved every aspect of my job from the moment I started this job. And, yeah, it's great that I can actually pay the rent now, but there was a time
that's
that
true.
I couldn't do that. You know what
that,
I mean?
That's so, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Sure. It's funny because you're right. You know, go ahead.
If you love what you do, someone told me a long time ago, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life again. I truly feel as though I stumbled upon a job that I never thought I would have, but it's so amazing and it's so rewarding for me that I love my job. I love my life.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree with that whole, like, if you something you love, you work every in your life. Let me tell you what, man. I love what I do, but the other week I did 4 14-hour days a row in the Hamptons. Let me tell you what, on the fourth 14-hour day, I was kind of like, all right, man, I'm kind of done. Like, like, I love this, but I'm ready to be fucking done.
Yeah, I mean, okay, hey, I understand that. I totally understand
that. It's just
that.
The way it goes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, let me tell you something. I mean, there are times that I work, you know, I mean, yeah, as a chef, you're going to work long hours. You're going to work in the holidays, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I've worked 14-hour days back to back for a week. I've done that, but I still feel a sense of, you know, I at the end of the day, I still feel a sense of, yes, I love this job and I'm happy that I can do this job. And people love what you do. They respect what you do. That's an amazing thing.
I absolutely. And I think that's the coolest part about it. And we're definitely coming into an age now where, I mean, when you and I started this business, it was, like I said, I've been going 20 years now. I'm guessing you're pretty close to the same now, right?
Exactly. 23.
Yeah. I mean,
23 years.
There you go. There you go. It's a long time, isn't it? When you think about it, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a lifetime. And if you think about it, put your restaurant and your hotel years in there. And then like, just think about it. Like, that's like, it's like two lifetimes you've lived, if you think about it. I mean, my God, the crazy shit that I know I did, I'm sure you did the same thing.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, so, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like this is a wonderful thing now because, you know, there are a lot of people who are starting off there, you know, the youngsters who I've seen come in and, you know, if I'm doing like some kind of a cocktail party and I need extra help, the people who come in the kitchen, it's like it's funny to see how, I mean, everyone looks you up online.
But
it's like by the time they get there, they're so like involved and they just want to like learn. I think that's an amazing thing. People who want to really learn and, you know, hone in on a craft and make it something, you know, something they want to be more than what they are. They want to learn from it.
Right.
I love that.
Right. Right. Completely. And I think you're totally right with that. And that's the coolest part about it. And I think, I mean, I always feel very lucky to do what I do. I'm sure you do too as well, but I mean, even still, you got to have those days where it's like, God, okay, man, all right, I'm ready to be done. Like, this has been a long, long day. Because the difference, I think, in what, as a private chef, a personal chef versus a restaurant chef, I mean, you can still escape to the kitchen, you know, escape to the back. But when you're a private chef, a personal chef, you're still, no matter what, you're in front of your guest, your customer, you're in front of them the whole time. There's no getting away from it.
100%. So, you know, like I said, it's just one of those things that, you know, I mean, hey, man, I mean, love what you do. I mean, if I didn't love this job, I could very easily open up a restaurant and never speak to any of the clients, any of the guests.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to deal with a kitchen, you know, but so I'm still here. But you know what? I mean, Grant, I guess that's ironic. I just realized that I am actually opening up a restaurant somewhere in South Norwalk. But anyway.
I was about to bring that up. Well, it's interesting because you said yourself when you started this conversation that you're looking at winding down, but going to opening a restaurant is quite the opposite from winding down. Like, what's the story with that? It's interesting to see someone going from being, you know, working in the private world to then want to go and do the restaurant. Like, listen, I've had tons of opportunities myself to open restaurants, right, but I want nothing to do with it, man, because I have a family, I have kids. I don't want to work 80 hours a week anymore. You know, I don't want to do that.
Let me say this to you. So doing what you do, is there ever a time that you're thinking I'm going to retire? You're never going to retire. You know, there's never going to be a moment.
What's that mean?
you're never going to retire ever. So what I'm thinking is, this is my thought process. I want to do a restaurant because I feel like right now I'm working 14 hours a day. Sometimes it's 5 days a week. Sometimes it could be seven. Right. What I want to do is open up a restaurant. I can control my schedule more. Being a private chef, being, you know, going on the road. You know, when I was on the road with Kiss, I was working 7 months out of the year I was on the road. When I was the private chef for the Prime Minister of Kuwait, I was out of town so much it would, like, I mean, like, I barely saw my girlfriend at the time. So right now, being at the level that I am, and I want to go and open up a restaurant because I think that it's elementary at this point in time. You know what I mean? That is the next smart move to make. It's almost 101. You do a menu right now. My menu changes daily. You open up a restaurant, it's choosing. It's seasonal.
Of course.
I see nothing but possibilities. You know.
Well, the thing is, you have the personality for it too, and I wish you all the best. And, you know, of course, I'll support you, man. I'll come hang out and drink your beer for sure, no doubt.
You better come down and have a beer, man.
Are you kidding me? Of course, dude. No doubt. And actually, you and I are going to have a beer you're in the Chef's Challenge. So you're here locally in Connecticut. Of course, I don't stay with local stuff because we are a national show. But the big Chef's Challenge event that we do once a year here, I'm hosting this year. And of course, my man Marlon, I told our mutual friend Rachel, I was like, I got to have this guy at this event because he's amazing and he'll be so much fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what you got, man.
Okay, and let me just say right there, hi, Rachel.
Oh, trust me, brother. If we don't say hi to Rachel, I will get phone calls and texts at 2 a.m. And she'll send me messages. She's like, how come you guys didn't mention me? I'll tell you why, because we hate you. We hate you, Rachel.
Right?
I'm just kidding, Rachel. You know I love you, honey. She's texting me right now. She's texting me right now saying hi. I'm looking forward to having some time to hang out. I'm looking forward to having some time to hang out with you at the event. We're going to do a big after party. And of course, if you're not there, you better be there. So we'll have a lot of fun. No doubt, brother. No doubt. So listen, I wanted to ask you some of the fun questions here, man. And you've done some amazing stuff. I mean, honest to God, I looked at your bio. Actually, first, I have a bone to pick with you. Is that okay? We're boys, right?
You go right ahead. Yeah.
We're boys, right? Like, you're not going to be mad at me, bro.
We are boys. I have no problem.
All right.
You go right ahead.
You got to take the word culinary celebrity off your bio. Don't call yourself a celebrity, dude. It's obnoxious. Don't fucking do that. It's not good. And you get made fun. Just take it off.
I will take that off. So are you saying that if I cook for celebrities, I can't consider myself a celebrity? Is that what you're saying?
No. No. Listen, bro, I have been paid to host a national talk show on the Hallmark Channel, and I've had over 9 appearances on Food Network, and I still refuse to use that word. I won't do it. I'm not an asshole.
All right, I'll take it off.
let other people call you that. Don't call yourself that.
Okay.
That's the word of the wise.
Done.
My man. But see, that's why you're awesome, dude. This is the thing. Like, I wouldn't bust your balls if I hadn't had your food. And I had that stuff you made at that charity event, and it was awesome. And that's why I think you're a really, really good dude. And I can't wait for the future because I've been wanting to hang out with you since, but this summer's been fucking crazy for me, and I'm not sure for you too.
I hope so, man. I mean, I'm trying. I've been, I felt a little neglected. I thought that we were going to hang out, but we haven't.
Oh, dude, come on, man. Look, I've been killing myself. There's so much stuff going on. We should talk off air so that I can apologize to you and explain to you. Oh, I get it. Okay, I get it.
We will talk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But like, you have done some amazing stuff, man. You've worked with some amazing people. You've worked with, I mean, my God, Stevie Wonder. You told me Anthony Kiedis, which, by the way, can you get him to follow me on Twitter? Because that'd be awesome. Kiss,
I think,
Eddie.
I think I can work that out.
Oh, no shit. Oh, my God. Look, quick story. I'm digressing really quick, but I have to because you'll get it. So my brother-in-law owns a very, very, very highfalutin, like, hoity-toity restaurant in the Hamptons in Montauk called the Surf Lodge. Maybe you know about it. I don't know. It's a very celebrity-type place.
I have not heard about it.
All right. So it doesn't really matter the story.
I'm from L.A., man. So it's like L.A.'s a little different.
I love your town.
I'm just now submerging myself into all of the, East Coast things. So
yeah, man.
I'm still new.
Well, dude,
I'm still new.
Listen, It's awesome. And actually, I love LA. I love it dearly. I have such great friends. I love LA. Anyway, so the Surf Lodge, amazing, like hot, like celebrity restaurant. Like the other weekend, Taylor Swift was there. So you couldn't even get, it's crazy what they do. Anyway, I'm fishing on the boat with my brother-in-law, right? We're out fishing on his big ass boat. And he's telling me some story. And he's like, yeah, so, and I am a diehard Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. You have no idea. I will be the rest of my life. I picked up a guitar because of the Chili Peppers. Like, that's why I play guitar. Anyway,
nice.
And bass. So anyway, so he knows this. He's known me for fucking forever. And so he just throws in there. He's like, yeah, so I had to go to the Surf Lodge. And he's telling some story because he doesn't really like to go there and hang. It's not his type of place, but he's still part of it. And he goes, and right. Chad was there. He's talking all the stories about Chad this, and Chad was there. And I'm like, okay, great. And I'm like, who are you talking about? He goes, Chad, what's his name from the Chili Peppers? Chad Smith, the drummer from the Peppers. And I'm like, and you're just now telling me this. You're just now, like, I would straight up go in there.
I didn't know.
Dude, I would be that guy. I would walk right up and be like, hey, man, you're Chad Smith. Like, I'd be that guy. I'd be like, hey, remember when you wrote, like, Give It Away? Like, I'm that guy. And he's like, and that's exactly why I didn't tell you.
Yeah, let me tell you this. I brought a family member of mine to a KISS show. I said, I can't get you tickets because it's the show sold out, but you can sit at the sound booth. So it's like you're right in the middle of you're right in the middle of everything, sitting at
amazing.
The soundstage. And so it's VIP access. You can come in the back and have some wine and then go out there. She totally freaked out, Paul Stanley. At one point, she came backstage and was standing next. She was standing next to Paul Stanley and Gene. And Gene Simmons. And I said, excuse me, you realize we're on the backstage right now. So not only are you breaking etiquette, but you're on the stage. You need to go.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Are you fucking kidding?
Dude, that's awesome. I love that. That's great, dude.
Standing on the backstage right now. Will you please get off?
Wow. That's a great story, man. That's a great story. And then, of course, now you disowned her. She's not in your family anymore.
I totally disowned her. And I was like, yeah, you're never coming to another concert again. I'm never sending you anywhere.
you weren't even allowed. Don't leave your house. You can't even leave your house anymore.
Yeah, don't even call me. Don't leave your house.
That's right. So you've worked with some amazing people. Now, I don't want you to give out names of stuff that for the question, because obviously we're not trying to put anybody on blast. But, like, what's the weirdest thing? What's the weirdest thing? And I had the opportunity to work with John Travolta at one point, and they wanted to have, like, they had dinner. Yeah, they had dinner at, like, 2 a.m. It was the craziest shit ever. What's the weirdest thing that happened with a client of yours? Like, what's the thing? They said, hey, chef, we want to do this. Or, chef, can we have dinner at 2 a.m. every night? Like, what was the weirdest thing that ever fucking happened?
I'm trying to think what I can not get sued for.
don't get sued. That would be bad. That would be bad. Just don't say any names. You're good.
So I had a client who apparently, and you know, I can't even understand this. Apparently, her fondest memory is Thanksgiving. So once a week, she wanted to have a full-on Thanksgiving dinner once a week.
Oh my God.
So I was doing turkey. I was doing, you know, cranberries, blah, 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 every week. And it just, it seemed to be the oddest thing in the world. I didn't understand why she wanted it done. But yeah, so I would do that every fucking week. Oh, sorry. Every darn week.
You can curse, man. It's cool. Don't worry about it. Wow, man. That's insane.
You'll
crazy.
That out, right? Yeah.
No, hilarious. You can curse. It's cool.
I could not understand while I was cooking Thanksgiving, a whole turkey once a week. And the thing that really made me laugh, one time she asked me, you know, she wanted a Thanksgiving turkey, and it was, she wanted to know if she could have it done like in an hour. And I said, you realize?
I just choked on my wine. Are you serious? Come on.
You realize turkeys don't cook in an hour. I just want you to know.
No.
Yes.
So what did you do? Did you tell her? Did you tell her that, or you did you break the bird down and try to roast it in a fucking hour?
The sad thing is, I broke the bird down.
You had to. I mean, that's what she wanted, right?
Yeah. She wanted.
Oh my God.
She's America's sweetheart. I broke the bird, though.
Oh my God. Well, I'm not going to make any guesses as to who that is, but we could probably figure it out.
Funny thing is, I think you already know.
Well, I said I ain't gonna blast nobody. It's all right, but it's funny, man. I'll bet that you are the man at making Thanksgiving dinner now.
Oh man, I can make Thanksgiving dinner like nobody's business. Nobody's business.
You make that shit in an hour. Oh, yeah. That's hysterical, man. That's hysterical. So, what about like? Obviously, that's a crazy ass story, but talk about like an amazing story, like something like you think you're going to make dinner for the celebrity. You get there and all of a sudden there's like even bigger celebrities at the house hanging out. Has that happened to you?
You know what? I mean, here you go. So my current job that I have now, you know, an awesome. I mean, like, seriously, if this guy told me I could walk on water, I would probably walk out on the water and see if I could actually do it.
Sweet.
I love this guy to know it. I love this guy to no end. He's a hedge fund manager. The nice, yep. Literally the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
Well, you tell me if you want him to come to the Chef's Challenge, man, I'll put him on the VIP list if you want. They can just come.
Right? So he told me one day, yeah, so, you know, I have this boat out in the Sea of Cortez. I would love for you to come out and cook for some friends. I'm like, okay, no problem.
Cool.
First of all, the boat was a ship. Yeah. It was a ship. It wasn't a boat. It was a ship.
It's not a boat. I hate that. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. We go down the.
Hey, just to digress really quick, Chef. My client tonight, I was just at, just told me that Friday they want to go out on their quote boat on Friday. Want me to go with them?
Right.
So
right.
It'll be the first time with them. So
two helicopter pads. If you have two helicopter pads, bro, that's not a boat.
It's not a boat. You have a fucking aircraft carrier. You drive an aircraft carrier.
Exactly. So he had me come out. You know, there's a helicopter bringing in his special guest. I'm not even kidding you.
Right.
One of the guests was Bill Gates. And when Bill gets off the plane, he's wearing knee socks that literally white knee socks that came up to the knee. Oh. When he got off the plane, it was like he was like how can I put that? Mickey Mouse. Hi. And he says hello. he says hi, and he was an extremely nice guy. I never imagined this guy being as nice as he was. As soon as I heard it was him, I was like, "Oh shit." But I mean,
wow.
Dude, you don't, how often does that even happen? It hardly ever happens. I think he has, you know, most people pay $1 million just to be in the room with that guy.
Yeah, no kidding. And you were in front of him the whole time. But the thing about it is like, but you're there. But, you know, kind of the rule of thumb with private chefs and personal chefs is, I mean, be cool. You just got to be cool. Like
exactly.
You can't.
Exactly.
You got to be unflappable. Just be cool.
You got to be cool at all times.
I mean, nothing's that big of a deal. Nothing can ever be that big of a deal. Am I right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got to, yeah. You play it down at all times.
Until Bill Gates wants a steak well done. And you're like, fuck that motherfucker. Now he's exactly. Just a fucking douchebag came into a restaurant. Fuck him. Oh, shit, man. You've worked with a couple of my favorite other actors you've been with, man. Will Smith, I'm a giant Will Smith fan, and people, I get shit on for it, but I am. I think Will Smith's awesome. I think he's a great dad. He's a great human being. Break my bubble. Am I wrong? Is he that guy, or is he not that guy at all?
Sad thing. Yes, he is that guy. He is that guy.
That's awesome. Are you fucking...
He's probably one of the nicer entertainers that you would ever meet. And trust me, I don't even like to meet people because I know that, you know, your vision can be destroyed. The worst. So I had a meeting with I was in a meeting with a very well known diva, and when I say diva, I mean music, diva.
Okay, like the music diva. Is that what we're talking about?
The music diva.
It wasn't like she could be your grand, like she could be your grandmama.
Oh no, not Aretha Franklin. No.
You knew exactly where I was going. Holy shit, Chef. That's crazy. That's exactly what I was thinking. That was awesome.
So Nick Cannon's ex-wife, I was in a meeting with her. And
wow. And okay. Speculation, whoever that is.
Yeah, exactly, right? So she was talking to... When she was trying to talk to me, she had to talk to her assistant and tell her assistant to tell me what she was saying, even though I'm standing
there.
My thought was, I think I'm done, and I'm done with you.
You know, that's interesting, man, because it's something we haven't even talked about yet, and I have in my notes to bring up to you, especially being a private personal chef and you know what we do. I just think it's so interesting, but like. The personalities kind of have to line up a little bit. If it's not going to work, it's not always from the client side doesn't work. It's from the chef side. If it's not going to work, the chef can immediately be like, you know what, man, this isn't going to work out. I've said no to many people, and it sounds like you have too. Not because of my skill set or anything like that, because I look at this person and talk to them, and you know what? This is not a match. We're not going to work.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you. It's not about the chef being interviewed. I'm also interviewing the client. So
absolutely.
I have jobs. I can get a job. So if I see something that seems sort of, I don't know about that. Yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, keep in mind, you have to understand that you're going to be around this person or persons all the time. So understand what situation you're getting yourself into.
Like you're gonna be around them when they're not wearing makeup.
Exactly.
You know, and I've heard
I'm going to see the real you. So yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dress accordingly. Dress accordingly.
Man, that's funny. And you know that person strikes me, and we haven't said her name, and I'm not going to. But that person strikes me as someone who would be a pain in the fucking ass.
Yeah, so we left the genie out of the bottle, and yes,
Well, I didn't say anybody's name, neither did you. We're good, brother. We didn't say anybody's name. I mean, listen, I think Britney Spears is an amazing human being. There we go. I even complimented her. But Eddie Murphy was another guy you worked with, right? And one of my favorite actors of all time. Coming to America is in my top five movies ever.
Oh, right after like Caddyshack and a few other things, Coming to America is like one of my favorites. I could see Caddyshack and Coming to America played on a theater like nonstop, and I would love every moment of it.
Yeah. Well, I also think Aliens with Sigourney Weaver, like the second one, Aliens with the Marines. That's a good fucking movie, dude. It's a good movie.
I was going to say Goonies, but okay, sure.
Goonies is a great movie. I don't think Goonies top five. I'd say Goonies top 20, but not top five. hey, look here. It's just because I'm drinking wine now, and by the way, just so everyone knows, my rosé is at about 25% now. I've killed 75% of the bottle. Do you remember the movie, Chef? Do you remember the movie? It happens. This radio show goes all over the place. Don't worry. Do you remember the movie The Never Ending Story? Do you remember that movie?
A Trail.
Yeah, oh my God! Okay, good. You do. I was so afraid you were saying no. All right. An amazing movie as a kid. That was awesome, right?
That was an awesome movie, and that that was like that's one of those movies that you see as a kid, and it's like you just wanted to
iconic.
Go out and buy a big white dog with floppy ears. Yeah, I know.
Damn right.
That movie. Almost verbatim.
Oh.
I think I can remember lines in that movie.
Oh, absolutely, but bro. Let me tell you something. They made movies different when we were kids than when they make them now. I tried to show my kids that movie, and I forgot about how the fucking horse gets sunk into the fucking quicksand and dies, and how Atreyu gets killed, and all the bad shit. Like, I forgot all that shit. And my kids are looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What the hell did you just show us?
And I'm like, no, this is iconic. This is a great movie. I showed my kids this movie, and they're like, yeah, we're not going to go to bed and we're crying. The wolf. Do you remember the wolf that Atreyu talked to? The wolf that fucking, that motherfucker's scary as shit, dude. He's scary as shit.
I was like American Werewolf in London. What are you kidding me?
Yes!
I remember that.
Yes. Oh, dude. So scary. Like, I think that someone needed to remind me before I showed my kids this movie about how fucking like terrifying it is. This is a scary fucking movie.
You should have showed your kids Sleepaway Camp. They would have the same effect.
It would. My choices were Sleepaway Camp or The NeverEnding Story. And I was leaning towards Sleepaway Camp. But I went with NeverEnding Story. I'm not sure which one was scarier, but I think they're scarred for life now. The whole do you remember the nothing is like destroying the entire planet? It's fucking scary, dude.
it's a very dark movie.
Yes. And I have, you know, my twins are 9 years old. My youngest is 5. And I was like, this is a great kids movie. I'm going to show them this movie. And they're watching
that
it. They're
not very well planned out.
No, but I didn't remember it was that bad. To me, this is a great kids movie. No, it's not a kids movie.
Oh, fuck,
dude. I don't know how we got into that, but that's honestly, that happened. That's a true story. Eddie Murphy, good people?
Great people. So I used to work for one of my second restaurant I worked for in Los Angeles was a place called the Shark Bar. I don't know. I mean, if you go way back, there's the Shark Bar, and that was owned by this kid from New York. But before that, my first restaurant that I ever worked for in L.A. was a place called Georgia's. So Georgia was a very well-known Southern. They're both Southern restaurants, but Georgia's was a restaurant on Melrose. It was owned by Debbie Allen. And what's that guy's name?
Wow.
Denzel Washington. So,
shit.
Yeah. So it was the spot. And I remember like Diane Carroll and all these people would come in. And it was such a scene. And it was so great to meet like all these people. But Eddie was one of the people who would come in there. And, you know, when I started working for him doing, you know, all his, you know, private events and all that kind of stuff. It was just an awesome vibe. He's such a humble guy, such a nice guy, very warm heart, very warm spirit. I love working with him, Stevie Wonder, and all those people. It was amazing.
Mm. Man, I just can't even imagine like the opportunities that you had to work with these people. It's so fucking cool. Just the stories you've had. And I literally have 25 more questions for you, but we've just been shooting the shit. And that's pretty much what this show is about. This show, the whole basis is like you and I sitting in a bar just talking. So we got to do a part two.
Absolutely, I would love that.
I mean, it just has to. It just, I mean, you're killing it, man. And you know, between you and I and everybody listening, like we announced it last week. We've been asked by Connoisseur Media to do a show locally here in Connecticut based on food. I definitely got to get you on that, running our mouths and just talking shit. But we can't say the word shit. But but that's okay,
I love that, dude.
I
appreciate the opportunity, and I would love that. You let me know.
And you and I are awesome, my man. That's happening sooner than later. Bro, it's already September. That shit's happening really soon. Trust me, that's happening. Before I get you out of here, I want to ask you my final three kind of speed round to you, brother. You know, we have a lot of young culinary people who check this show out. I've been fortunate enough to been accepted into the True Cooks community, which is amazing. And we have a lot of young people who check the show out via that connection. What would be the best, let's get that in a second. Let's talk about the one dish, the dish you ate, at what age and what it was that you ate that made you realize food's a thing. It's not, it's its own living, breathing thing. It's not just something we do because we have to. Do you remember the dish? Do you remember the moment? What was it?
You know, funny thing, yes, I do. I remember going, I was out in I moved out to Long Beach, California when I was, I want to say it was the ninth grade. And I remember for the first time having braised short ribs. And the thought of braised, I've never even heard of that before. Never even I was baffled. I had these braised short ribs. I had sage polenta. And to me, it was like rediscovering the wheel. It was the best thing that I've ever had. And the funny thing is, I make that today, and it's constantly requested. It's one of the biggest selling dishes that I think I have.
Really?
At this point. Yeah, I mean, oh my God, everyone asks for that. You know, yeah, it's lovely.
So like, this is a dish you had as a kid that you've recreated and made everybody like just fall in love with.
Right, that's the dish I had as a kid. I mean, I recreated that, and everybody loves that dish. Oh my God. So I mean, you know, I'm Creole, so it's like it's one of those things. It's a signature dish that is, you know, you can never. It's never overdone. Never overstated. I think that everyone loves that dish. It's a great dish.
Wow. That sounds amazing, man. That sounds absolutely amazing. Okay. I can't wait for you to make.
And I will make that for you. I totally forgot one thing. Hold on. So the job that I have now, the job where I'm now, not many private chefs can ever be, they never have the opportunity or hardly ever have the opportunity to cook for the Zagats. Couple that I work for now, that's two of their friends, Tim and Nina Zagat, came over for dinner one night. And Tim wrote down on a business card that I have and I will never disregard. he gave me 30 out of 30 on my menu.
And you need to take a picture of this and post this, brother. This needs to be your Instagram picture.
The only reason I haven't posted it because he wrote the name of the client on the post. And so I didn't I'm going to. I mean, I don't think I've ever been so happy to have such a person that I hold in such regard, like give me such compliments on a dish. For the Zagats to give you that love, it's overwhelming. They were the most lovely people that I've ever met before. It was a great opportunity.
Man, that's a great story right there. What a great story, and what an honor to have that, huh?
I mean, come on. where can you go from there?
I don't know, but you know listen, I know we're trying to wrap this up, but that brings up the question too. You look at these guys and the Zagats, and they're so respected and so well. I mean, they're so well respected for what they do, but then the chef in me says that, but then the cook in me. The you know, fuck the system cook in me, which we've all been at one point, I'm sure you were too, wants to just say, yeah, but what the fuck have they done? Have they ever done 1,200 people in one night? Have they ever had to turn tables 15 times in a 5-star, 5-diamond, AAA modal restaurant? Have they had to work in a restaurant where they had a Michelin star and had to maintain that fucking whole? No. You know, I don't know. I mean, I know you know what I'm saying?
100%. I totally understand what you're saying. But this is a job that I've loved doing my entire life. The fact that I'm able to
yes, please save me because I just dug a hole. Please dig me out.
I know you did. The fact that I'm able to cook and I have such love from the foodie community is beyond belief. Tim and Nina Zagat, they're huge in what we do. If you love what we do, you have to respect what we do. And part of that is, you know, the James Beard Award, you know, all this kind of stuff. Mm. I love all this. It's like I love learning every day what it is we do. So you have to keep that in mind. Be humble, be gracious.
Yeah.
And have a cocktail.
Well, dude. I love that you said have a cocktail, because speaking of cocktails, back to my final three questions for you, cocktails are definitely, to me, part of food. And cocktails, to me, is all-encompassing. I'm talking beer, I'm talking wine, I'm talking, you know, even just a simple – I had 10-year Pappy Van Winkle Saturday night at a client's house, which was awesome. God, I didn't get into that with you. I want to ask you about drinking with your clients, too. That's a whole other conversation. We got to do a part two because I have so many more questions. But what was the cocktail you had? Cause you know, listen, in the end, you're a cook and that's what I am. And we come from a realm of drinking cheap beer and just need to pay our rent. But what's the cocktail you had or drink that you had that when you drank it made you realize the same thing? Oh my God, this is a thing. This is a, this isn't just drinking because we want to get drunk. We're drinking because this is amazing with food.
Okay, so, you know, keep in mind my age. I am a fan of, you know, I'm old school, man. It's Dean Martin, when you know, like, you know, Frank Sinatra, all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
So for me, the first drink that I actually had, it was like, okay, this is actually a real drink. This is a man's drink. I'm drinking a grown man's drink.
There you go.
Manhattan.
Yep.
A Manhattan.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, I grew up very humble. I grew up, you know, in a very poor section of town here in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's why I'm here. So I grew up in a very poor section of town, Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, I used to drink, like, my first drinks were like crazy sweets and, you know, things that I would never drink today.
Boone's Farm. You know,
hey, there's no wrong with Boone's Farm back in the day. I used to drink that.
But, that's funny, man. That's
so
funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you grow, you learn, you become the person who you want to be. And I used to have, I mean, now it's like, dude, Maker's Mark, Bullet Manhattans, and you know, I smoke great cigars, and this is all working with the people that I work with. And you grow and you learn as you go. I mean, it's that's what it's all about.
Wow. I mean, I think it's right. I think you definitely fall into like whatever your job is, whatever you work at, whatever you do, you kind of fall into that category. And I think you definitely have, especially talking about those drinks. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just that that is what it is. And that's pretty awesome. Digressing question. Gene or Paul, who's more demanding?
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
Gene or Paul from Kiss, who's more demanding?
Let me tell you. So when I first started working with Kiss, I heard horror stories about Paul. Paul, this very day, are all your fans listening right now? Paul Stanley is perhaps the nicest person that I've ever met. He is more of a brother, a friend than anything else. And so I would have to say who's more demanding. I don't think either of them is more demanding. I would definitely say that Paul is a person who to this day, I can call and talk about randomness, and it's lovely. And he's a great human being.
So you can get me, you can help me get Paul Stanley on this radio program. he's like, no.
All your listeners out there, yes. You know, hey, if you're a Kiss fan, it's a solid group, and they are the most kind and generous people that you'll meet.
Love Gun's one of my favorite songs in the world, man. Kiss is awesome. I couldn't
Black
agree more.
Mine is
Ooh,
Black
great
you know,
fucking
maybe,
tune.
When I walked into the dressing room, Eric Singer would sing Black Diamond to me. Yeah, actually, he would say Black Marlin, but never mind.
well, whatever. It works, right?
It works.
That's awesome, Chef. So the final question for you, brother, and again, I appreciate your time, and thank you very, very much for coming on the show tonight and you know, telling some stories and hanging out, and that's pretty much what the show is about, just a hang. And
I appreciate it. I'm honored that you actually thought of me to call, but you know, I definitely appreciate it. Thank you.
Dude, you're the man. So a final question for you. Like I said, we have a lot of young culinarians checking this show out, man, and people who are just breaking into this business and trying to make something happen and turn something into, you know, take their lives and turn it into something as far as a culinary business goes. What would be the piece of advice that you'd give them, bro? Like the piece of advice to help them succeed, because you're very successful. What would be like, you know, there's obviously something you could say, like what could change their lives? What could you say to a young culinarian?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would just say, you know, take it in stride and learn as much as you can. Don't ever feel that you are too big to learn anything, because, you know, there's more than one way to cook a dish. So don't ever feel like you're above anything, anyone. And, you know, be humble, be kind. Don't be that guy that you hated to work with when you were coming up in the ranks.
Wow, I think you just became my favorite person, man. What a great quote, man. That's a great quote. I'm serious, man. This is my man right now. We had a great time talking tonight to Chef Marlon Alexander. He's been a chef to the stars, talking to everybody. He's done so much stuff. Chef, tell them where they can find you on social media, website, all that sort of good stuff.
So, hey, my name is Marlon Alexander. You can find me at marlonalexander.com or come to South Norwalk and have a drink with me. I would love to see you.
There you go. There you go. MarlonAlexander.com. And, of course, on social media, you've got you got to do more Instagram, brother. Instagram's where it's at for chefs.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I think I have all that. I'm not on Instagram that much. I'm more of a Facebook guy, but I'm sure I have Instagram.
Oh, I gotta bust your balls, but I won't do it, man. I'm running out of time. Chef, you've been amazing. I thank you very, very much for your time this evening, brother. I wish you all the best down the road, and I look forward to the future, man. I'm happy that you live in this neck of the woods, and I look forward to doing some fun things down the road.
Thank you very much. I love it. Thank you. Take care.
That's my man, Chef Marlon Alexander. Make sure you check him out. What a great dude. What a fun conversation. The guy has done so much stuff. Amazing. Super nice and super positive. That's the thing that I like about Chef Marlon. Very, very positive guy. And you can see it right there in that conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, let's get into a few plugs. Uh-oh. I got cannon shots. And get on down the road. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chef Plum. That's right. And I am located on them Twitters, on them Instagrams, on them Facebooks, at Chef_Plum. You can find me right there. Next week, another great episode happening on Monday night. Big shout out to my man, Chef Marlon Alexander. You can check out MarlonAlexander.com. And, of course, find him on social media. Just type in Marlon Alexander. He comes up. A lot of great things happening with him. A lot of great stories. Reach out to him. He's a fun guy to talk to. He's got fantastic stories, man. Can't emphasize that enough. And hey, listen, you guys remember something for me. Seriously, remember this for me. When you're watching these food documentaries, it's just that. It's a movie. It's entertainment. Don't take it for the gospel. Realize there's two sides to every single story there is. And ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Make sure you give it the time that it deserves. I will see you next Monday night right here on Plum Love Foods Live with Chef Plum. Peace! I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.